Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, here's an article about a topic that I haven't really seen discussed, at least from this perspective. The article is entitled A Christian Perspective on Dementia. You know, obviously there's a lot of this taking place in our world today, and for us in particular, I posted this morning, I appreciate the author's comments in this brief article. Not much has been said on this subject, at least from this perspective, yet there are so many saints dealing with dementia themselves or via loved ones. We see its effects every week in our evening services, because our evening services are held at an assisted living facility here in town. So we see a number of godly men and women that have served the Lord in a great capacity for many, many years, 30, 40 years at times. In fact, in one of our evening services at this assisted living facility, John Piper's dad was with us for a period of time where he would come to the evening services and so forth, and he suffered from dementia as well. And I remember specific times where he would come in and just think that it was his turn to preach. I would sit with him when he came in, and then he would indicate to me that he was going to have to get up there shortly, right after the singing, and do the preaching, since he was a preacher himself. I don't know if a lot of people knew that. Bill Piper and William Piper. And he ended up, I would say, well, Mr. Piper, I'm going to go ahead and take this service, so you can relax here and just, I'll go ahead. I got this one. And then he would be okay with us for a little bit. I remember one time in particular, he came into the service and he began singing. We just have these remarkable moments that take place there. We go over to Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility. But we have these remarkable moments that they're those type of moments that, unless you were there, it's very hard to describe. We just had a couple more of these just recently. But in this moment with Bill Piper, he was, he started singing God Will Take Care of You when he came in, the hymn, God Will Take Care of You. He'll see you through, and things like this in the song. And the people that were gathering in the pew, this was before the service had started, so they were coming from the various wings and stuff, coming into the meeting hall. And as they were coming in, he broke into singing of this, and then all of them were singing it as well, from memory. You know, and we bring some in that come from an Alzheimer's wing as well, and we purposely sing hymns that are very familiar to them, because even though the hymnals that have been produced are they're like chorus books, but they're written, the text is oversized. You know, I mean, you could read the text from across the room if you have good eyesight. But even with that, some of their eyesight is not well enough to be able to read from the hymnal there. So we sing ones that are very familiar to them, and you would be surprised, you know, just how well they sing and so forth. So this article, because of those experiences that we have there every week, where we see saints, the saints of God, who are struggling with dementia and so forth, this article just meant a lot to me when I read it this morning. And I said, you know, I wonder how many people think about this and have thought about it from a biblical perspective. And I thought that the author in this article is listed as S. Buckingham. I don't know who that is. And I think that author did an excellent job. It's not very long, but let me read through it. And then I hope you'll get a blessing out of it, as I did when I read it this morning. It says this: dementia is one of the hardest afflictions of old age, both for the sufferer and for their carers. when our bodies are sick, we can call upon mental resources to help us cope. The essential person remains the same. But when the mind is lost, it is our very self that is decaying. When Ronald Reagan announced that he had Alzheimer's disease, AD, that's how we'll refer to it going forward here in the article, AD, he said, "I now begin the journey that will lead me into the sunset of my life," unquote. You know, watching a relative or a friend suffer from AD is a terrible experience. And for Christians, it raises many questions. Why is my godly father become so aggressive? Are the outbursts of anger the real person hidden hypocritically all these years? There are no easy answers to these questions, but we can begin to understand a little by knowing something of what goes on in dementia and reminding ourselves of some basic biblical facts. He then goes on in the article to talk about a few of these. He says, dementia is an irreversible and serious decline in cognitive performances, more than would be expected given the age or circumstances of the person. The biggest cause of dementia is Alzheimer's disease, and dementia is the biggest drain on our health services. All dementias are the result of a massive loss of brain cells in a specific part of the brain. Scientists are beginning to understand what causes this loss, but there are far more unanswered questions yet to be solved, and we are a long way from a cure. The Bible is a sufficient guide to living a godly life, and therefore contains all that we need to know to help someone with dementia, and perhaps even to help us should it happen to us. To my knowledge, the Bible never says, or the Bible says nothing directly on what we would call dementia. The case of Nebuchadnezzar was reversible and was clearly a temporary judgment of God with prophetic purposes. And just to refresh your memory there with Nebuchadnezzar, you remember that he basically lost his mind and he crawled around like an animal, gave up everything related to personal hygiene and so forth. His fingernails grew long as claws, and he ate grass and so forth. So some people may say, well, that was an image of somebody losing their mind this way, or what they may refer to as dementia in him. But again, as he pointed out there, it was reversible. And after he had learned the lesson about God's sovereignty, that temporary judgment of God was lifted from him. So he goes on in the article then to say, so we must use good and necessary consequences to try to deduce how we should act or react to AD. The believer with dementia is still a child of God. One aspect of dementia is the change in personality. Someone who once was a mild, mannered, gentle saint now uses words and does things that would shock any decent person. Sometimes this is a failure of the mind to suppress erratic, sinful thoughts. In life, we either under the law or under the gospel, deny, or at least should deny, ungodly thoughts. This requires active suppression and inhibition. As the brain deteriorates in AD, the censoring mechanism breaks down. The person no longer has a physical capacity to suppress certain actions in the same way that the person who has lost his leg cannot walk. The bad words and bad deeds are still sinful, but the capacity to resist sin has been taken away as part of the extended dying process that we call dementia. This should not surprise us, as it is central to our belief as Reformed Christians that the sinner has lost the ability completely to stop sinning. Now, that paragraph right there, I thought, was vitally important. So when you see these loved ones, you know, where they shout out obscenities and things like this, and they react in an ugly way, you know, towards their caretakers and sometimes towards their children and their spouses, and maybe sometimes it's first expressed towards the spouses in a married couple, and one of the married couple begins to deteriorate with dementia, they might make these types of statements. But I think this paragraph that is written here really sheds some light on it. And I know a lot of Christians then whose parents have done this, and then they say, wow, you know, my dad, he was always such a gentleman, and now he's, the way that he speaks to my mom, and some of the things that he says, you know, it just makes me wonder, was he ever really saved? But I think the understanding that he gives here about the idea that we were implementing part of our faculties, including our mind, in the suppression of these types of things. You know, we still live in a sinful environment. We still have a sinful nature that tries to rear its ugly head. But what we do when those thoughts come into our mind, we suppress those thoughts by the Word of God, by saying, no, that thought right there towards envy or hatred or lust or that comes into our mind, we say, well, that is a thought that is out of sync with God's Word. And God's Word tells me that to think and to dwell upon those things is sin. Therefore, I purposely put down that thought and start thinking about something else. You know, somebody once said this, you can't stop a bird from flying or landing on your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. So you say, well, I can't just help. I get these erratic thoughts coming in. Well, that's okay in one sense, because you're right. You may not be able to do anything from the errant thought, you know, just flying into your mind. But what you can do something about, at least at this point where you have the faculty of your brain to be able to do so, a redeemed brain, you know, who doesn't want to dwell upon these sinful things, you have that can then turn to the teaching of God's Word and use the teaching of God's Word to suppress those things, casting down all imaginations and everything that exalteth itself above the things of God. So that's what we're doing on a regular basis. Well, what happens when that capability to do that, the physical capability associated with doing that, is now lost? That's why I mentioned to people, and this is a little bit more generic than to the subject of AD, but I mentioned to people not to wait till later on in life or when you're in a serious physical condition to think about how to combat those things, how to think, how to preach the gospel to yourself, how to have the strength to be able to endure that level of suffering, even to the point where you're upon your deathbed. And some of the reasons that I give for doing that is I've spent time in the hospital with people that are dying, and here's what I notice. The pain itself sometimes is at such a heightened level that the person finds it difficult to concentrate on how to deal with their thought process during that time. You add to that medications that are being given, and the medication making the person loopy and incoherent at times and so forth, especially as the pain gets greater, the medication gets increased as well. And therefore, it's a very bad time. Now you throw into that loved ones, saved and unsaved, that are then coming into the room and saying various things. And I tell you, it makes a recipe. It's a very bad recipe to say, okay, now at this time, I'm going to start learning how to go through difficult times in my life and learning how to, you know, be able to deal with things like this. Believe me, it's not a good time at all to start that. You've got to start it way earlier. And I think the same would be true here as we think about AD. So he says that, with that faculty being diminished, it doesn't mean that the person is still not a child of God. It just means that this child of God now has lost some of the tools to be able to fight the remaining sin that still remains in our life. That's what it means in this passage. So he goes on to say this. I say he, it says, I don't know, it's S at the beginning of it. The author goes on to say this. AD is an affliction, and afflictions do not affect one's standing with God. If an elderly person was ever a Christian, whatever behavioral changes they have, whatever deeds they do as a manifestation of AD, do not cause them to lose their salvation. It is, of course, possible that they were never converted and pretended all their life that they were, and that the loss of inhibition that is part of AD uncovers the deception. On the other hand, all believers retain a fleshly nature, which by grace we are able to subdue. In my view, it is possible that brain decay might cause a loss of some voluntary capacity, including that part of us which we have been taught to deny ungodly lusts. When a praying mother uses terrible words or ideas, we wonder which of these scenarios is true. However much it might cause us worry, we are not the final judge of such things. It is also worth remembering that in the early stages of the disease, there remains some intermittent lucidity, and the affliction of AD, like all afflictions, may be used of God to bring a person to a saving sense of their need. He goes on in the article then to say, we have a duty to care and to respect for the elderly. AD is an affliction, afflicting people, mostly but not entirely, older people. We are duty-bound to respect older people. The scripture does not qualify rising in the presence of the healthy hoary head only. We are required to love all men, especially, but not only, them of the faith. But the elderly, whether afflicted with dementia or not, deserve our particular care. The efforts of those who care for the people with dementia, whether at home or in care homes, are very much to be applauded, and they need much grace to continue loving under their care. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. We sometimes entertain the foolish thought that if someone is severely afflicted, especially in mental health, that they are being punished for something that they have done. Death and disease are indeed a result of sin, both federal, i.e. in Adam, and individual. But when a person is sick, we do not know whether it's a visitation upon a specific personal sin, whether in judgment for loving corruption, or whether it is the reward we all inherit federally, reward is in quotes, federally as members of Adam's race. We therefore cannot conclude the affliction of AD reflects upon a person's character. Rather, we should take it as a warning to ourselves, reminding us of what we all deserve as natural enemies of God. The Puritans often remarked that sin in a form is a form of madness. So affliction with dementia would be a just dessert for all of us. A rational response to an irrational world. Many things that are done by the mentally ill look very odd to us, but can make sense if the person given the strange world that they find themselves in. If a person is suffering from delusion and that there are snakes in their bed, it is perfectly rational for them to refuse to get in that bed. If someone is convinced that you are reporting all their words to the government, it is quite rational for them to refrain from talking to you. The actions of mentally ill people are often a rational response to a world that has become irrational. AD patients may accuse you of stealing from them, but that is because they have forgotten that they themselves have moved the object that they have lost. We have to remember that the forgetting that happens in dementia is different from normal forgetting. When you or I forget something, we are usually aware that we have forgotten it. Personally, I can't remember all the calculus that I learned at school, but I am fully aware that I have forgotten it, and I perceive the gap in my memory. But with dementia, even the gap isn't there. Now, the brain is very uncomfortable with things that not making sense. It is constantly making every effort to make consistent sense of what it sees. If there is a hole that doesn't make sense, the brain will carefully fill around the hole without you ever being aware of it. That is how so many visual illustrations work. Many of the things AD patients deludedly think are actually the remains of the brain trying to make sense of what is going on. That's the brain's job. We very much hope that one day there will be a cure for Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and other causes of dementia. The research effort into understanding dementia is increasing, but it has a long way to go. Even in our sinful world, we would hope to die an old man and full of years. That was taken from the Banner of Truth. Again, and it speaks, the actual title is Remains of the Brain's Day, A Christian's Perspective on Dementia. I wanted to read that for you because, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, so many more people are dealing with this, either themselves or with loved ones that they're caring for. And I thought it would be helpful then to have a little bit of a Christian perspective to keep in mind as we do this. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.